skirt. Only he could do that. What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 19. It's Jonathan Kerma, entertainment editor, Amherst Wire, you know what it is. Moogatoons editorial intern, you know what it is. Contributor to Hold My Drink Sports. And with me is our other host,
Trevor Wilson, co-host of the show, writer for the Amherst Wire. You know why we're here. It's episode 19, ladies and gents.
Yes, sir.
You know, end of the summer, we're winding down. But we got a fat episode for you guys today. A lot going on this week.
I mean, for our basketball fans, I'm sorry. Like, you can't really blame us.
Blame the NBA.
There isn't that many stories out in, you know, mid-August. But I think, I actually didn't run this by you guys, but I think from now on, like next week, we'll start like doing like basketball discussions where it's like, you know, maybe ranking, different stuff, all-time stuff, where it's like, it's not as timely since we really have been slacking on the basketball side of things.
Well, I mean, Wait till they find out what we're talking about today the basketball
side. Yeah, let me give you the quick rundown.
It's a light news week for the NBA.
I'll give you a quick rundown, but before we do that, social media. I need y'all to follow us. If you listen to this podcast and you're not following us, what are you doing?
We're just trying to gain clout.
That's what I'm saying. Young Thug, gain clout. That's all we're trying to do. So follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at 808s_abreaks. Give us a follow. Feel free to, you know, slide into our DMs with song suggestions, of course.
Ladies, that includes you too.
Oh, ladies, yeah. And my personal handle for all the ladies out there at jkerma98 if you're really trying to get it popping. But yeah, let's get started with this episode. So
you need a sip. You need a sip of water.
Let me take a sip. A little thirsty. A little thirsty
here.
Refreshing. All right, so here's the rundown. So first we'll be talking about, you know, we got the slapper skip for you like we have every week. A couple tracks from YouTube, couple tracks from Apple, Spotify, you know what it is. Then we're going to be talking about Nicki Minaj's most recent meltdown. She went off on Twitter and on Beats One Radio, so we'll be discussing that. As well as Aminé and Young Thug's new, Young Thug plus, YSL, their projects. We're going to be talking about those two projects. And then for the ankle break side of things, our only news this week is that Jimmy Butler commenting on Dwayne Wade's wife's photo, Gabrielle Union's photo. We'll be discussing that and, you know, the...
Which brings up a lot of important questions.
Yeah, the morals.
More than you would think.
We're talking about the morals. It's less basketball, more just fun summer discussion. So let's get started with Slapper Skip. If you're new, you know what it is. Actually, you don't, but you don't know what it is. That's the issue. Slapper Skip is where we take the hottest singles of the week as well as fans of the show, their suggestions, and we kind of review them. We give it a slap. If it bumps, you know, we're playing it in the whip. We're playing it for a playlist, stuff like that, and then we give it a skip if, you know, we're not playing it, obviously. We literally skip it.
Yeah.
So, first track on the list is Black. He just released a new single, Nonchalant. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
So, I'm giving this a slap. Super vibey. Very spacey. You know, I really like what he's done with this single so far. I don't think it's anything new from him, per se, but it's kind of just what I expected. But so far, I'm really happy with what he's putting out lately, so it's a slap for me.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a slap as well. I will disagree where you said he hasn't done anything new with this. I mean, he's kind of talking to
him. I would say
it's
this
less,
is, yeah.
It's less relationship issues and more just, I'm Black. I went platinum. You rappers are flopping after your first albums. I'm not going to do that. He's talking to
Yeah, I think I meant more sonically.
Oh, it's sonically, yeah, definitely.
But lyrics-wise, yeah, because the last two, you had Switch, and then you had... I can't remember the one before that, but he had another one before that, and they were both kind of like, sounded like they could have been off his last record.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this song's really good. Check it out for
sure. I'm interested to see if he's going to be talking about stuff on this album other than just, you know, broken relationships.
Right.
Because, like, when you're in the R&B lane, or he's kind of hip-hoppy, too. He's kind of in between, but when you're in that R&B singing lane, you tend to sing about women because that's going to get you a lot of money. But it'd be interesting to see if he does something else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Next, we got T-Pain, Hallelujah. I think this is just a YouTube one, right?
Yeah, it is. He put out, like, a bunch of tracks. it was like, he called it like Everything Must Go. He was tweeting about it. So
I read that. This was one of them.
And I decided to put this one on because it was the best one, in my opinion. So I'm giving this one a slap, actually. It's just, it's crazy that T-Pain's still relevant because he puts out like mad, like remixes and shit. Like if he had did like a Rolling Peace remix and that was fire. Yeah. I don't know if you heard that one.
I did.
He's got another song with Gucci Mane coming out soon. I don't know if it's actually dropped yet or not, but that, he put a snippet on Twitter. That sounds fire. But this is actually like one of the best T-Pain songs I've heard. He's just really like impressive with the vocals. I mean, like, yeah, he has auto-tune, but he's still a great singer without it. So I think this is an impressive performance.
I'm going to give it a slap. T-Pain is just one of those artists where it's like, it's hard not to be happy anytime you hear his voice, anytime you hear his vocals. So when I heard this track, it was no different. The hook was, you know, it was pretty simple, but it worked. The beat was pretty upbeat, gospel, soul vibe to it. Hence the, you know, the Hallelujah title probably.
Yeah.
So overall, yeah, I enjoyed it. I'll give it a slap for sure. Next, we got Wiz Khalifa and Travis Scott. Trippin' is the name of the song.
Yep.
What'd you think, Trevor?
So I'm giving this a slap. The only thing I didn't like about it was Wiz's part. I didn't think he fit in quite as well with the beat as Travis did, because the beat's fire. Mm. The beat's crazy. It honestly reminded me of Rodeo a little bit.
Okay.
Where I think that's why Trav fit in so well over it. You know, he doesn't have as much auto-tune on his voice, but it's a little bit grittier for Trav, and I really love his part on it, so that's why I'm giving it a slap.
Yeah, we disagree on this one. It's a skip for me. I the instrumental definitely has like a Travis Scott vibe to it. It's very dark and, you know, as you said, grimy. I thought it didn't do too much for me. My biggest issue was, you know, both Travis and Wiz's performance. Like, there's nothing clever in their lyrics at all.
That's
true. I feel like there was literally no attempt to write lyrics here. It's just like, we smoke weed, we drink.
I mean, that's every Wiz Khalifa song.
Yeah, true. But like, my thing is, if you can you give me some similes? Can you give me some metaphors?
Give me some punchline.
Can you give me some double entendres? Something like, you don't need to give me some like corny punchlines. Like, you know, I'm the core of the game. Abdomen. I don't need that. But I need something. I need something like, you know, thought out. If you're gonna just be talking about the same played out topics.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I gotta give it a skip. And Travis without autotune, it's not that he sounds bad. It was just boring. In my opinion.
No, I got
it. That's how I feel about
different.
It. But, you know, you got two different opinions. You guys can look it up yourself. This is a YouTube track, so check it out yourself and let us know what you think. Next, we got Tory Lanez and Bryson Tiller, Keep in Touch. What do you think of this one, Trevor?
So this one's a meh for me. Bryson Tiller's part is really just mediocre, and so is Tory Lanez. I don't think they really deliver anything new or outstanding. The beat, you know, it's a simple, like, trap R&B crossover. You know, there's nothing really special about it. It's okay.
Yeah, I also am going to give it a meh for pretty similar reasons. I've been kind of disappointed in Bryson Tiller ever since, I get, what was his last album? True to Self?
Yeah, True to Self.
True to Self, and, like, everything after Trap Soul has just been, like,
okay.
Yeah, you're, like, you're still this, you're making the same exact music, and I feel like it's not necessarily good enough for me to overlook the fact that you're just kind of rehashing a lot of the same stuff.
Right.
And with this track, yeah, Bryson Tiller's part was pretty, like, nothing really stuck out. Even the hook doesn't stick out.
Yeah.
Tory Lanez, I kind of liked his verse. I thought it had, like, some solid flows to it. But it's not necessarily a bad track, but it's just definitely ear-catching.
Yeah.
This one's on Apple and Spotify, by the way. Next, we got SOB times RBE, Vibes. What did you think of this one, Trevor?
So this one's also a meh for me. I've really vouched for SOB RBE in the past. They had a great album release that came out, Gangin'.
Yep.
And, you know, that was really, it was really just aggressive. It was just all, like, street rap, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, you know, I like the production on it. I just don't think they sound great on it. I don't think it's really up their alley to make a song like this. You know, they still have the same flow.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't done anything new with their flow lately. So, for that reason, it sounds nice, but I don't know. It doesn't really work for me.
Yeah, I gave this one a skip. My main thing is they keep rehashing the same flows.
Yeah.
Which, it wouldn't be an issue if, like, but with their flow, the thing I noticed is they intentionally, like, emphasize certain words in the line, like, in, what's it called, Paramedic, you know, Switch Up in the Game, Gang, that's just something that I can't do. Like, they emphasize stuff, and that's cool. I like that. But if you're doing this every time, it just kind of, like, I'm going to naturally just get kind of sick of it if I keep on hearing the same thing. The beat didn't do too much for me either.
Right.
And the hook doesn't even really feel like a hook to me on this track. It feels like kind of like 8 bars in a verse.
Yeah.
So that's just my personal opinion. Next, we got Cousin Stiz. He dropped a quick EP, three tracks, all adds up. The first one was Shop. What did you think of this one, Trevor?
So I'm going to give Shop a skip. I think the production's decent. The lyrics are okay. My biggest problem was the energy. I don't think he really brought like a lot to the table in terms of that. He got pretty monotonous. You know, the song was boring because of that, and it kind of just proves that, you know, you can have a fire beat on in the background, but, you know, if you're not, your delivery is not on point, then it really doesn't measure up. So I'm skipping this one.
Okay. What did I give on this one? I also gave this one, actually, no, I gave this one a meh. I didn't hate this track. I thought, you know, the beat was pretty generic trap to me. That's probably my best way to explain it, where it's, you know, yes, it's like, it's got, you know, the rattling hi-hats and it's got bass, but it's like, it's nothing distinct about it that makes me think, wow, this is something totally unique in trap right now.
Absolutely.
The message wasn't anything special to me, but we got the second track, Did It. What'd you think of this one?
So this one, this is, I think, my favorite song in the EP. I gave this one a slap. Super bouncy, way more energy than the first track. The flow is a little bit better. It gets a little bit samey. But I think overall this is a much better track than this one and the last one. So I'm giving this one a slap.
Yeah, Did It, I definitely gave a slap. My biggest thing is the message. I think Cousin Stiz does a great job in his music of, you know, trying to inspire. And this one, I think he does a really good job of that. Talking about, you know, he's pretty much celebrating all the stuff that he made it through, like all the hard times. And now he can say he did it and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I will say one thing, kind of just a joke. It's not really an issue, but he's one, like with the Did It, he's like one step away from being like Dora with her celebrations. You know? We did it. Yeah. Like, but I actually enjoy the song a lot. Next, we got Way Up. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm skipping this one. I wasn't really feeling his vocals on this. The hook was kind of, eh. I wasn't really feeling it. The beat and production is good. Nothing new. His verses are solid, though. Mm-hmm. I think that's the bright spot of this track, is that his verses are solid. But, eh. The opening vocals when he's like, wait, like, ah. That's not for me, so I'm skipping this.
I gave this one a slap, but I'll be honest, I only listened to this one once. I think it was because of the verses, that's why I gave it a slap, but we'll move on. Next we got Childish Major, one of my favorite artists. Know Nothing. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
This is an absolute slap. This crazy bounce, crazy flow on this one.
He produced it, by the way.
He did?
Yeah, he produced. Yo.
It sounds unique.
Let me just go give a quick ISO to put some people on Childish Major. This dude, he produced J.I.D. Never. He produced that song.
Really?
With the beat switch, he produced that. That's how I got put onto him.
Okay.
So then he put out his EP or album, Woosah. Listen to that. Very inspiring music. But we'll talk about this single now. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to.
It's all good. But yeah, the track, the melody is super unique. And like, he incorporates these trap drums, but they fit so well.
Yeah.
I feel like. And his flow on this is just ridiculous, like I said. So this is an absolute slap.
Melodic flows, but he's still rapping.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I gave this a slap for sure, of course. It's less motivational than his last project. And pretty much the topic is, I think it's pretty much about cheating on his girl. But it sounds so good that you don't really worry about the message behind it. The beat is definitely very chill, but it's also got that trap bounce to it. I love probably the last minute of the song, where it's almost like the outro part of the song, where the beat kind of steps into the forefront and then his vocals are kind of the background. He like puts like a little effect on them and muffles them a little bit.
Right.
I love that part. So slap for me. Next we got two
throwbacks.
Yeah, two fan suggestions. Jay-Z, I know, came out 2007 on, what is it, American Gangster?
Yep, American Gangster.
On that album. What do you think of this one, Trevor?
So this is a slap for me. Yeah, I like how this song, it's like an extended metaphor of how like it involves like drugs and love. And Jay-Z is kind of like the drug in this song. You know, and this is Jay-Z, like arguably on one of his best, not arguably, I would say definitely on one of his best albums with American Gangster. So you're kind of seeing him in his height here, but this is a really impressive song from Jay-Z, you know, back when he was in his prime. So this is a slap for me.
Yeah. I just love the fact that he's pretty much writing from the perspective of heroin, kind of like, as you said,
I was trying to remember what it was.
Clever, very clever song. So obviously it's a slap for me. Like, who am I to not give a classic Jay-Z song a slap?
Right.
Come on. Next, we got Lil Wayne, 2007, Kush. What do you think this one, Trevor?
I gave this one a slap, less about the lyrics, more because this was a much different sound for Lil Wayne than I think that people were used to. I mean, because, you know, we're used to, like, the Amilly shit, like, he's hard with that, you know. And he was kind of the first to step into this newer sound, I guess, you know, usher people into this newer sound of hip-hop. So I really like the sample on this. It's super unique. And, you know, he always gives you the punchlines, like classic Lil Wayne coming in with the punchline raps. But, yeah, this is a slap for me.
Yeah, it's a slap for me. All I'm going to say is I really believe Lil Wayne could hop on any beat.
Facts,
and
bro.
I don't care what you think.
Bro, his dedication mixtapes, like, he just hops on every popular beat and spits.
I don't,
like,
care who's listening. Lil Wayne's in my top 10. I don't care.
I respect that.
And that's our slapper skip for the week. So now...
No discussion. Kerm doesn't want to talk about that anymore.
Now we got to talk about Nicki Minaj.
Oh, boy.
So... I guess I'll let Trevor do the background information, and I'll fill in where he might miss. So let's just get into things, Trevor. What's been going down?
So Nicki, I believe it was, what was it, Sunday night?
Sunday night. When she went off.
Yep. Had a meltdown on Twitter about her album sales. So basically, Queen, her latest album, debuted at number 2 on the charts.
Number 2. Not number 2. Not number 50. Yep. Number 2.
Number 2. She sold 185K behind Travis Scott, who is number 1 for the second straight week, and he sold 205,000. And after hearing of this, Nicki Minaj went on Twitter and started claiming that this was fake news, you know, for lack of a better word. And she was just saying about how, like, you know, like, Travis sold a bunch of merch with his albums, like, to boost his album sales and stuff. Mind you, she was doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But she went on this whole tirade of saying how Queen was number 1 in 86 countries and the real numbers were going to come out soon.
She was on a Trump show.
Yeah, she really was. She was just saying, you know, she was basically, it sounded like Trump talking about the inauguration crowd. That's pretty much what it sounded like.
Yeah.
But, so she was going off. She was criticizing Travis for that. She even criticized Kylie and Stormy.
Yeah.
Like, we really all thought she was about to square up with a baby.
One of her main arguments was, like, one, she blamed Spotify because she thinks Spotify was against them because she dropped Queen, like, 10 minutes early on Apple.
Yep.
When I'm pretty sure Spotify couldn't care less. But whatever. Yeah. I don't work at Spotify, so maybe she's telling the truth on that. But her complaint with Travis was the fact that his baby mama, Kylie Jenner, advertised that Travis was going on tour.
Yeah.
Like, what is she supposed to do? Like, that's her man. So she's going to support him. I don't understand really what's the issue with that.
Yep.
But yeah, you can keep on going. But
then, you know, after that, she was like, oh, this is all sarcasm, dry humor, blah, 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 claiming she didn't really mean any of it, you know, that she was laughing it all off. But I think we all know the truth. I think Nicki's a little butthurt about the whole situation. But, then after that, she went on Beats Radio.
Beats One.
Yesterday, yeah. On her own, her Queen Radio
on,
show.
On Monday. Because, you know, they don't know. It depends. I don't know.
Right, Monday. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, guys. On Monday. And basically saying the same shit. She called Travis, I'm not going to say it. But
she called Travis the for the week.
Yep.
I can fill in some of the Beats One. Because I was listening
to this. She was going off.
I tuned in, I think, 15 minutes late. And when I say this was pure comedy, it was pure comedy. I got a couple quotes off the top of my head. There was the Travis Scott's the week. She went off about Stormy again, which is like, why are you talking about this baby?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why are you talking about? You are a grown woman. You are 35 years old talking about a baby. But then the other person that was in the studio with her even compared her to Biggie at one point, and it just pretty much the Beats One the radio interview just turned into a let's gas Nicki Minaj as much as we can right now.
Yep.
And I will say this one thing: black women are definitely disrespected in media and in the world in general, so I don't want this to come off as just a session of us just attacking a black woman. But sometimes, like, Nicki Minaj, as well as I guess the Monique situation, feel the same thing if you know about that topic, where Monique was, she felt that she was lowballed by Netflix when she was trying to do a comedy special on there, and Amy Schumer got more. Well, sometimes it's not just because you are a black woman; it is because your popularity at the time.
Right.
Travis, right now,
he's popping.
Yeah, he's popping. You did the, like, Nicki did the same thing with trying to, you know, bundle her albums with her merch and her tour. And it just didn't work.
Yeah.
To the point where, didn't you say her tour, actually, her and Future's tour has been canceled in the U.S.?
This morning they announced that it was canceled in North America. They're starting the European leg of the tour first.
Yeah.
So, they said it was due to production changes and scheduling conflicts, but I mean, I really think it's because it didn't sell that well. So, but obviously they're not going to admit that, but, you know, that's besides the point. Yeah. But yeah, she's just, I mean... She's not as popping, you know, but still, like,
she's still
number two in the country.
There's really nothing to sneeze at. Yeah. Like, I don't, my whole thing is, I was thinking about this in my life. Like, what would be the equivalent of, you know, what Nikki's doing? It'd be if I turned in a paper and it deserved a C. Because, in my opinion, Queen is not a bad album, but let's not act like it's album of the year. It's
facts.
Yeah. Last week I talked about it. Like, there are songs I enjoyed for sure. Like, you know, Barbie Dream is fire. I love Sir with Future. I even love Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Like, I love plenty of songs on the album. But the one with Eminem, I'm good. I'm good on that. But I'm good on that. But it's, you know, it's not a bad album by any means. But she's out here complaining about getting, you know, the number two spot. That's like me putting in, let me not say C, that's disrespectful, a B level work for a paper, right? And I get an A minus, and I complain I don't get an A plus.
You're going to be mad about that?
Professor, why did I get an A plus on this B minus paper? Like, come on. You have the number two album in the country, and at this point in your career, you should be proud of that. That's this is our fourth album. All the 2010 guys, like, they're trying to still be relevant, and you are.
And that's
you are still relevant.
What you can always say about Nikki. She's always been consistent. Like, maybe she's never, like, crossed, you know, that plane yet where she's sold, like, over 200,000. I'm sure she has.
She has. But, Pink Friday sold 400,000 physical copies.
That's her best-selling album. Yeah. But, like, still, like, she has been consistent. 185,000 for your first week is not bad. That's really good. And, you know, because... And it's even harder being, you know, being the guy that drops an album the same day as Travis Scott.
Well,
you know,
she dropped it a week later.
No, I'm referencing to, like, Mac and YG, because theirs didn't sell nearly as good as they could have had they not dropped on the same day. But, I mean, she had a week to herself, basically, but, you know... You're going up against literally the hottest album of the year.
Yeah, Travis Scott is in his prime right now. Yeah. Nikki, I'm not saying she's out of her prime, but, like... 2012 was when she was probably most relevant.
Right.
Like, she's still very relevant. Yeah. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect Nicki Minaj because I think she's a legend. That's the thing. I want this to come off.
Yeah, she absolutely is.
We're getting our jokes off, but I still respect Nicki Minaj a lot. I just think this year she's been bugging.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody falls off at some point. And the fact that she's been as prominent as she is now, like, for this long, is crazy. She should be proud of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think maybe she has a point, like, you know, maybe the, you know, the tour merch doesn't count as real album sales, but the thing is, she was doing the same exact thing.
It just didn't work for her. It's not Travis's fault the Jury tour didn't sell,
right?
Like, I don't understand how she, because Nicki Minaj, I will give her credit, she's the reason that streaming counts towards album sales now, because she complained about that a couple years ago and that changed everything. Like, Chance wouldn't have a Grammy if it wasn't probably for that complaining about the streaming.
True.
So I give her credit for that, but you can't just complain every time the system doesn't work for you.
Absolutely.
That's what it comes off as.
I 100% agree.
I think we can wrap it up with that. I just want to one more time say I love black women. I absolutely support my black women. And this is not an attack on a black woman just to demean a black woman.
Right.
I understand that black women have it harder sometimes. But this, I think, in this scenario, it has nothing to do with that. Because Nikki was ranting about that. She even compared herself to Harriet Tubman at one point.
Yeah, that was...
So she was bugging
on that.
That
was goofy. That was messy.
We'll leave that topic there.
And I guess I'll close just by saying that, you know, for somebody at her point in her career, where she's been around this long, if she wants to stay relevant... She can't be doing this. She can't be distancing herself in the game, because people aren't going to want to do shit with her if she's going on tirades like this.
Facts. I think recently I saw her say something about how she is, how all the trap people are saying all the stuff that she doesn't necessarily agree with. But then I was listening to her album. She was on, I think it was called Hard White, I think, on one song where she was literally talking about trap.
Yeah.
That's story.
That's besides the point.
We'll get into our album talk now. So we'll be talking about Aminé's...
mixtape.
Yeah, mixtape, what's it called?
1.5.
Yeah, 1.5, and we'll be talking about Young Thug and Company on Slime Language.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk Aminé first.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on this project, Trevor?
So I didn't really expect a whole lot going into this, because it was a surprise drop. He kind of just said the day before, he's like, I'm dropping a mixtape tomorrow.
Right.
I loved his debut album, Good For You, is really good. Lot of really uplifting, like up-tempo, feel-good music. And you get a lot of the same here. I think it's a little bit more mainstream than Good For You was.
I'd say Good For You, for me, it felt more poppy. Like, in terms of instrumentals, they were a lot more colorful, a lot more poppy. I feel like that's kind of stripped down in this one.
Yeah, it's a little bit more watered down, but I think that just adds to it, like, it being a mixtape. Like, it's obviously very loose. Like, there's not... Like, the intro is great. Doctor Whoever, that's one of my favorite songs, because I feel like that's the most substantial song on here. Yeah. Like, he gets a lot in there.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, it's just fun. It's just a really fun listen. Yeah. You know, it's still feel-good music, I would say. Hiccup is another great song with Gunna. I mean, the Gunna feature is okay. I feel like every Gunna feature I've heard is just okay.
I definitely didn't mind the feature.
But,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, other tracks I like. Blackjack's a banger. Love Blackjack. And then STFU, that's another banger, too. Yeah. I love that song. But he really comes through, like, it's fun. It's really just him having fun, and it sounds just like a mixtape of Lucy's, which isn't a bad thing. So it's definitely a good listen.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of, you know, just fun tracks. But I will say the transitions between songs is very good.
Very smooth. Yeah, absolutely. Very 808 heavy. I think that's why he's able to blend them so well.
Yeah, it's like the sound overall is like a mix of, you know, bass and like Beauty. I guess that's the way I could say it, because it uses, you know, soul. A lot of soul on it. Aminé, I forgot how good of a singer he is.
Yeah,
I think that really shows underrated. In this project on songs like Shine.
Shine's a great song.
The outro track as well. It's just got a great balance of him rapping and singing. That's probably the biggest takeaway. Like, as you said, I like Dr. Whoever. He's pretty much saying, like, you know, him recording is almost like therapy, and we're Dr. Whoever. Whoever is listening, we're pretty much listening to him, you know, let his problems out. And then you got tracks where, you know, they don't have the message, as you said. One track I like, Sugar Parents, featuring Rico Nasty. I like that track. I like the concept behind it. I like how it's something different besides, you know, just flexing. At least this one, the concept is that you're talking about being someone's sugar daddy, but you won't do it.
Yeah.
I found that funny. My only hang up possibly is that there every now and again, like, because he took away some of that poppy sound, he risks being like generic.
Yeah, it gets a little dry. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, I would say in Dapper Dan and Chingy, which I still like both those tracks, but they feel a little generic.
I think those are my least favorite tracks, just because they sounded so dry. Yeah, they didn't really fit in with the rest of the album. I think
it doesn't really show his personality on those. Yeah. It's just kind of like, let me flex to flex.
Right.
And use, you know, just trap instrumentals, which isn't an issue, but it's just, it doesn't show him as much on those tracks.
Right.
But overall, I think it's a pretty solid project. It's only 35 minutes.
34 minutes.
The shorter
minutes.
The better for me, usually. Like, if you give me a short project and I like most of the songs, I'm going
to
say it's really
good. Go back
good.
To it, yeah.
So, overall, I'd say this is pretty good. Definitely a bunch of songs you can add to your playlist.
Right.
You know, he isn't trying to do too much on it, and I'm thankful for it.
Absolutely.
So now we got Slime Language. What'd you think, Trevor?
YSL. All right. So this is Young Thug's, like, least adventurous project. We didn't expect anything from him this year, because he said, I'm not putting out music this year.
Yeah, it is a compilation.
Yeah, it's a compilation. It's less of his project, more of just, like, a showcase for the YSL signees and stuff. So I think on his part, it's okay. He has great solo performances on here, like on Game Cloud.
Game Cloud, he goes in
about the new generation. He flexes a lot in that song, but it's really good. But then pretty much the rest of the track, or the rest of the album, there's a lot of features on this thing. Like, you have the song with Gunna and Lil Baby. Chanel's a banger. That's what it's, that's what it's called, Chanel.
I like Chanel more than I thought I would. I definitely like that one.
I like Dirty Shoes a lot.
Audemars, though, me personally, that's the best song on the album.
Audemars. I love how it opens up. It's such
skirt,
a young
skirt. Only he could do that.
Such a Young Thug-esque opening to a track.
He's so animated on that track, and I think Young Thug's at his best when he's just super animated, super cartoony, and that's what he did on that track.
Yeah, absolutely. Another track I like too is You Ain't Slime featuring Carlay, which I believe is his girlfriend.
Yeah,
and she actually goes in. The hook's real hard on that. Her verse is really good, and then Duke.
Bro,
it's fire. I was bumping with it. Definitely. And then Duke, he had an okay feature. But, you know, this album sonically, I think it's what you would expect from a Young Thug project.
What'd
it's nothing new for him.
What do you think of the production?
I'd say it was good. There were some here and there where it sounded really different, like a little more like electronic, if that makes sense. Like a little more like EDM. But like futuristic, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But I would say sonically, you would expect this from Young Thug. It's nothing like new per se. My least favorite part of this project, I would say, is the features. I think it's really just not a great showcase of the YSL signees. You have a lot of Gunna on here. And like, I love Drip Season 3, but Gunna, like, the more I listen to him, the more I'm kind of iffy on him. The more I don't know, I'm not sure how I feel.
Yeah, he's just, to me, he's Young Thug without, like, I
without
said Young
flair.
Thug is, yeah, he, without he being animated yeah. and cartoony. Yeah. Less charisma is probably the right word to use.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, for a showcase, it was just okay. I feel the features were okay. Like, I would say this is an okay project. You know, there are some great songs on here, but for a Young Thug project, it's just okay.
Yeah, I think you got to just take it for what it is. You know, he didn't put much hype behind it.
Absolutely. He literally dropped it. He announced it like the week before.
Yeah, and it's not really an album. It's, as we said, a compilation project. So in that regard, I definitely enjoyed it. There's definitely songs that
it's
I can save from
it.
So
a lot of energy.
Definitely, I wouldn't say bad. Not necessarily, you know, project of the year or anything, but definitely enjoyable. Definitely enjoyable.
Absolutely. It's a fun listen.
Yeah. You have anything else to say about this?
No.
Guess we'll move on
to
the
slime language. Oh, I will say I wish he kept the original album cover.
Which one?
Just the YSL.
Oh, yeah, the letters.
Not like Young Stoner Life written out in sign language.
Yeah.
I thought that album cover was way better.
Okay.
But that's it. That's
so
all.
So now
I'll
we
say.
Can get into the fun part of the episode. The for all our basketball fans out there, we can not talk basketball with this basketball topic. So last week, I forget what day it is. Sorry guys.
It's not. That's not really relevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
So
all that you need to know is that it happened.
Gabrielle Union, you know, D-Wade's significant other, she posted a picture on Instagram. Very, very revealing. I think you can see the nips under the shirt. That's all I'm going to say. And in the comments section, you know, I didn't even see this because I actually don't follow Gabrielle Union. Beautiful woman, but I don't follow her. Just,
are you
know,
sure?
I don't follow her. I'm trying to keep my ratio nice, bro. So I can't be following every celebrity, you know what I'm saying? But in the comments, Jimmy Butler hit her with a all caps, "Well, damn." Which, you know, we're going to discuss
the etiquette behind that.
But D Wade, in response on Jimmy Butler, when he posted a photo, it was like in black and white, and the caption said "the good, the bad, and the ugly." D Wade's response was, let me read it word for word. "Put "well damn" in caps on my wife photo again, and you're going to see what the good and the bad and the ugly is like. So clearly D Wade, you know, didn't take well to it.
Yeah.
I will say that Jimmy Butler was interviewed by TMZ yesterday. He was leaving a restaurant with a baddie.
clearly just recovered from the situation.
And they asked him, "Are you and D-Wade beef?" And he said, "Nah, that's my brother." So, like, I don't think it was really an issue.
Yeah.
But we're going to get into discussing, you know, Instagram etiquette real quick. Trevor, is there ever a circumstance where it's okay to comment on your friend's girl's photo?
I think there's a line, and Jimmy Butler crossed it. I feel like his comment was definitely broke. I mean, because she was poking out. Let's be real. And, you know, he obviously liked the picture and he commented under it. But I don't think the way he commented was appropriate. I really don't.
Well, damn.
Well, damn. Like, if
and
somebody
D-Wade clearly cared about the all caps. So.
Yes. Well, because if it was just "well, damn." I mean, like, I feel like if it was just lowercase "well, damn," does that make it any different?
I think it makes it a little better.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
less
it's not
emphasis.
It's not a huge difference.
It's like,
but it's like a
it's "well, damn."
Yeah, I hear,
compared to "well, damn."
Yeah, I hear "well, damn." That's what I hear when I see it in all caps.
I feel you.
So
I mean, Jimmy Butler's got to chill a little bit. He's got to drink a little water.
A little bit. Sip some for Jimmy.
But I mean, if this is your boy, like, you shouldn't be commenting under your girl's Instagram like that. You know, that's like when you bring a girl out and all of a sudden all your boys turn into comedians. You're like,
"Oh, yeah, you're real funny now, huh? Real funny."
But yeah.
Hey, I mean, in Jimmy's defense, like, that's Gabrielle's probably also his friend.
Yeah.
And he was just saying, damn, you look good.
Yeah.
You look good.
I mean, he could have been joking for all we know, but how is D-Wade supposed to know that? Facts. Yeah, facts. Like if I saw that, I would, and if it was like one of my boys, I'd be a little confused. I'd be like, the fuck are you doing right now? Like, I know my girl is really putting out right now on the gram, but I don't remember giving you specific permission to comment that under my girl's picture. That's how I feel about that.
That is fair.
There's etiquette. So, I mean, I think it's one thing to compliment her if you're like, wow, you look great. But then again, for a picture like she posted, that's a little weird to say, like, wow, you look great.
I will say, we're putting this in hypothetical, though. So, Trevor, let's say your girl posts a photo, right? I comment on it. Would you comment on my photo with a... Put a well damn in all caps again and see what happens.
So are you saying the same thing Jimmy Butler said?
I guess I'll put it in my own terms. I'd probably hit it with the damn, ma.
Okay, yeah, see? Kerm, I don't think that flies with me. I gotta be real with you.
Would you publicly respond on my Instagram?
No.
I feel like for me personally, I'd hit you with the text. I'd be like, ayo, bro. Like, I know you. I know my girl's fine. I know she's fine.
I think I would text you. I don't think I would go public with it because one, I don't have clout like that. Like D Wade, like clearly wanted everybody to know. He wanted everybody to know that this is not acceptable.
Facts.
So I think if you did that, yeah, I would be salty. But I would talk to you on the side about it. I wouldn't make a scene. You know, that's not my style. That's not how I roll, Kerm.
Yeah.
But I would let you know. I would let you know that that's not okay.
Just making sure.
And to be clear, it wouldn't happen again.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. It's not even happening the first time. We're just talking hypothetical. I'm not the person that's going to do that. But we're just talking hypothetical. I think that's all we really have to say for basketball this week.
Yeah, that's really it.
Anything else?
Any big news? Well, there was Kodak Black got released
from prison. Oh, I forgot about that.
That was big news. We don't really have to talk about that, though. He hasn't really... I haven't really heard much about him since then. But he's still waiting trial for his sexual assault case. So... That was back in 2017. So, you know, best of luck to Kodak Black. That's all I will say about that.
I will say, I hope the right verdict is reached. I'm not saying best of luck.
Yeah.
If Kodak is a rapist, put him in jail. I don't support rapists.
I hope there's justice.
Even if I like your music, I don't support you
if you're a rapist. The U.S. court system run its course.
Yep.
And that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah, I think that's how we're going to wrap it up.
But I think the only person that doesn't want to see Kodak winning is himself. Let's be
honest. Yeah, he kind of does it to himself. He really does.
Like, but he posted... The reason he was in prison is because he posted a video of, like, mad, like, weapons and, like, drugs and money around, like, a child.
Yeah.
that was the nail in the coffin. Stupid. But, yeah, that's Kodak Black.
So that's all of our topics for this week. Yeah. We started off slow with the slap or skip. I thought it was going to be super long. We're under 40 minutes right now. So I guess we'll end it with, you know, plugging our stuff because we got time.
That's what we do.
I got time today. So once again, we got Twitter. We got Instagram. Follow us at 808_8breaks. Follow us on our personal accounts if you'd like. I believe I'm at jkerma98, both on Instagram and on Twitter. You know, if you're trying to see how the boy lives, check out my Instagram. It's only got like 4 photos, but, you know, check it out. Trevor?
I'll just plug my Twitter.
All right.
I'm not that thirsty today.
Hey, man. I'm just trying to get my cloud up. That's all.
At Trevor Wilson OG. That's my Twitter, you know. I tweet funny stuff sometimes.
And follow at The Real Gashawn. That's our visual editor slash PR guy slash my assistant. That's
slash Wholesome King.
Wholesome King of the year.
Let's not forget.
Gashawn Wave God Yusuf. Follow him. You know, he's pretty much running our Instagram account. I will say one thing so you guys know. We're not just being lazy with Instagram. The reason it's been a slow takeoff is because for some reason... I'm calling out you, Instagram. For some reason, we can't post polls or questions, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's because we don't have enough clout. I really don't know. I don't know who to talk to about it. We've emailed them.
They must think we're a fake account or something. Yeah,
clearly.
Like a Finsta.
Because we're just trying to you know, create discussion with our new Instagram. So with that being said, we'll still be continuing with the Photoshops. We're going to try and get some more memes on there for you. But... hopefully we can get this settled soon, especially before, you know, I guess you could say the season 2 of 808s and Ankle Breaks kicks off once the UMass Amherst semester kicks off. But yeah, we got good things in store for you. You know, we have some potential guests. We're trying to really get that down pack. So once fall comes in, we're really, you know, firing full cylinder.
What's going? Now I'm fired up. Now I'm pumped up, Kerm.
Hey, that's what I do, man. You know, I really should be a motivational speaker.
You should.
Wait. Wow.
I'm inspired.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah, now we're just talking to talk. So we'll get out of your ears now. Thank you for listening, guys. Have a good week.